Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Morning, Lee.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Andrew. A pleasure as always.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, always good to have you on the show. Just a question before we get into our topics today, just on the case yesterday and Lerman. What's his name, Vossie? Is it Baz
Bruce,
Lerman?
Bruce Lerman. Baz, can you please stop defaming Baz Lerman with us every time, mate?
Bruce Lerman. So he loses his defamation case. And I guess losing that case, Lee, means that he is up for costs. How does Bruce Lerman go about, and you having, you know, you being a lawyer, is there a, do you have a, you know, you sit down with this bloke, if you were representing him and you say, well, how are you going to pay us at the end if we do lose? What happens there? Because obviously he can't pay.
It's a curious one. I mean, the whole thing's a sordid affair. I mean, I went through the newspaper reports carefully. Yes, I haven't read the judgment as yet, but the language used by the judge was as fierce as I've ever read in his criticism of many of the parties involved, but particularly for the plaintiff, Bruce Lerman. Now, he brought the proceedings as against Lisa Wilkinson and Channel 10. He failed. The judge made a cryptic comment about him being very fortunate the first time that the rape proceedings were aborted by the DPP. Then he came back for a second bite of the cherry, and that didn't work out for him. But you're right, though, from a legal perspective, you would sit down with a client and say, well, this is going to cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. How do I get paid? And then if you do lose, there will be a cost order made against you in favour of the successful party, which will cost you more money yet again. And so there'd have to be some arrangements put in place. Now, I'm not aware of what the actual arrangements were, but there were references, of course, to Channel 7. So I can't speculate, but I don't know whether there was anyone funding him, funding the litigation, which is not illegal in itself. That can be done. And whether that funding agreement extends to covering the costs of Lisa Wilkinson and Channel 10 now remains to be seen. But if it doesn't, and Lerman doesn't have the money to pay the cost order, then his next port of call will be the bankruptcy court.
Yeah.
Well,
right. There you go. Well, which just seems the only way you can go down.
Yeah, one ballpark figure had it at $10 million, Brandy.
$10 million.
Yeah, in the millions rather than in the hundreds of thousands. And you're right, Lee. Not that we're a sports show, we can move on from this. But if you read the full judgment, he came down hard on everyone. Like he even said in the case in relation to Brittany Higgins, she told lies when it suited her. And then also gave Lisa Wilkinson a "you should have known better." And like everyone got covered.
He was not impressed with anyone. No, not at all. By the quality of the evidence and the character of the people that appeared before him. And of course, he only had to determine the case on the balance of probabilities, the civil standard. But he seemed to have had no difficulty in finding that Lerman did rape Brittany Higgins. He made that announcement, very forceful. But again, on the balance of probabilities, not the criminal standard.
Mm. All right, now we change tack. Let's get back into issues related to sport. Now, the Dolphins. Now, there's been some discussions about the advertising on their jerseys. Now, they have a sponsor that has been a sponsor of SEN, but we're guided by different parameters than sports teams. Alternaleaf is the sponsor that has signage on the jersey. What are the rules and regulations here around a sponsor, obviously with ties to a different sort of product, out of the mainstream in some people's opinion, and the Dolphins? Can you just go ahead and put a sponsor of any kind on your jersey?
No, there are restrictions on advertising, of course, which apply to whether it's a radio station or a sporting franchise. Now, this organisation has a website. It describes itself as Australia's largest medicinal cannabis clinic, delivering high-quality care to more than 100,000 patients every year. Now, medicinal cannabis is legal within Australia. However, there are restraints on the advertising of the product. Now, under the Therapeutic Goods Act, the definition of advertising includes any statement, pictorial representation or design intended, whether directly or indirectly, to promote the use or supply of the particular good. So whether the particular material is intended to promote the supply of the goods is determined not by the company itself, but what a reasonable consumer would understand the intent of the content to be. Now, that means if members of public would reasonably consider the sponsorship is intended to promote the use or supply of medicinal cannabis, then the TGA would consider it to be an advertisement. Now, the business is known as Alternaleaf. So the question arises as to whether that in itself is sufficient to establish in the mind of a reasonable consumer a link to the promotion of medicinal cannabis.
Well, in my mind, it is. Like, in my mind, Andrew, how do you feel? You know, with the pub test.
Well, Brandy, we did the ads. We can't be hypocrites. Yeah. So we read ads for Alternaleaf, but at no stage was the expression medicinal cannabis used in the actual read. So it wasn't stating the obvious. We just left it out there, Alternaleaf, the product name, and that was the lot.
No, but the legislation provides you don't have to state the obvious.
No.
Is it enough to intend? That's the difficulty. Right. And the name itself gives a pretty good clue.
Lee, there's a couple of contracts that we'd like to talk about. We will leave the Josh Schuster one at the side, but that is a fascinating one in terms of who's liable. Manly is saying, well, we don't have to tip any money on the extension, and I think there's a few clubs wondering how did they do that, what have they inserted in the contract that would make that. But let's talk about Zach Lomax, the fact that the Dragons are going to give him a release. The current contract will be severed at the end of the year, so basically a new contract that Dragons won't be tipping in for in 25 or 26, that will fall on the new club.
Yeah, that's a little bit interesting and a little bit different to what you normally see. So obviously St. George have dug their heels in and said, if you want to leave, young man, then you do so on your own terms. That is, you terminate this contract and we will consent to that. Now, we know from previous discussions that any contract is simply an agreement between two parties, and that agreement can be modified, altered, changed in any way by consent. But it can also be terminated by consent. Now, invariably, what happens is that when one player moves from one club to another, Club A and Club B will come to an arrangement as to the transfer of their contract and the payment of the salary. So if it is $800,000, Club A may say, we're prepared to put in $200,000 if you leave, because there's a benefit to us in you leaving as well, and Club B will pay the $600,000. That hasn't happened here. It appears that St. George have said, we are not prepared to pay anything, and if you wish to leave this club, you will do so by way of a termination of your contract, to which we will consent. And it appears that's exactly what's happened. So they took a very firm posture, and it's obviously worked out for them.
Mm. The Earl of Canterbury says, can you ask Lee if there's anything legally stopping leagues, clubs from financing stadiums for their respective teams instead of asking the government for money? If there isn't, then why haven't we done this?
No, there's nothing illegal about it at all. I mean, you can have partnerships as between private enterprise and councils or state government. That happens quite often. I think clubs would be reluctant to do that for a number of reasons. One, liquidity. It's a lot of money. The initial inquiries that we made about a stadium in the southwest of Sydney, they were putting figures of $500 million on it, on the price tag. That's well beyond the capacity of any NRL club, I would have thought. So, no, there's nothing illegal about it. It's just a matter of pragmatism, that is. It's very expensive.
Lee, I've had my say about the Taylan May video, which emerged and has now been deleted. In fact, Taylan May has deleted his whole Instagram account. But the video showed a car, someone driving the car, and Taylan obviously filmed it, or someone else filmed it, but he posted it then on his own Instagram account. The car is quite obviously speeding through a suburban street, where, as we all know, the speed limit would be 50 k's an hour. Now, what can happen here? There can be no, or can there be legal action here? When he's not the driver of the car, but he's posting this video on his own social media account. Is there anything of a legal kind here that could intervene, or it will just be action on the run by the Panthers or the NRL Integrity Unit?
Well, Andrew, it is very fortunate that there is no crime of stupidity. Because recording what is a very serious traffic offence and then posting it may come to the attention of the police. I'm sure it already has. And it would not be beyond them to go and visit Taylan and knock on his door and ask him who was driving the vehicle. It's a very brave person that doesn't cooperate or lies to the police. So far as Taylan's concerned, there is no criminality as such, unless it could be proven, which would be very, very difficult, that in some way he was actively encouraging or aiding the driver to commit the reckless behaviour. Now, there's a post of the car doing, I think it shows 96 kilometres an hour. I've seen the video. It is clearly a suburban area. And in fact, at one stage, it appears they're driving past the school. So we can safely assume the speed limit's 50, and they're doing almost double, if not double that. And so you look at, you know, under the Crimes Act, dangerous driving of a motor vehicle, under the Road Transport Act, driving in a manner dangerous to the public. All of these offences are available as against the driver. But it would be very difficult to stretch that out to any criminality on the part of Taylan, unless there was evidence to say that he was encouraging, because then you could establish criminal complicity, but that's a stretch. So it would be more so, I think, a very stern talking to about the dangers of driving in that manner. We do a lot of that work here, of course. It's not what we want to see, particularly with the young ones in cars who just encourage themselves to do stupid things, and the consequences can be tragic. So I think hopefully a lesson for the young man.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully dealt with by, as I said, I think the Panthers, Port of Call is his employer, the Panthers, rather than the NRL Integrity Units. Penrith, who come down hard and basically, you know, first to the punch, just get in there. Lee, have a great week. Brighton's lawyers busier than ever, I'm told, of course, but you can still make a call if you need any legal advice, 1800 848 848.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thanks, Lee.
Lee Hedgepin-Tellis, principal from Brighton's lawyers, here on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Brighton's lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.